Welcome to Alabama AgCast, a weekly conversation about news and issues affecting Alabama farmers and forest landowners. Alabama AgCast is produced by the Alabama Farmers Federation.
Hello and welcome to this week's Alabama AgCast. I'm your host, Mike Moody. We have on the phone today, all the way from Auburn, which is not that far away, Dr. Michael Taylor, Alpha Eminent Scholar. Dr. Taylor, or can I call you Michael? How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well, and please do call me Michael.
Okay, I will definitely do that. Michael is as we said, an Alpha Eminent Scholar, but you just got a promotion yourself at Auburn. What is that promotion that was just named last week?
Yeah, so I just got promoted to full professor.
Okay, well, congratulations. That's probably a ton more money and less responsibility, I'm assuming.
Absolutely.
Well, we won't let anybody from Auburn listen to this, so they won't know.
Okay.
But, but anyway, so you're in the ag economics, that is kind of your area of study, and rural sociology at Auburn. We reconnected because you were on last year, and so if you want to listen to that program last year and kind of get Michael's background on how she ended up here at Auburn, that's a very interesting story. But you are doing some research now that we were very interested in getting you on the phone to talk about. So tell us about the research project that you're currently working on.
Okay. Well, last year, Dr. Kelly Russell, who is a rural sociologist in our department, and I put together a proposal to the University of Tennessee, which receives a large amount of grant dollars from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, so USDA. And at the University of Tennessee, they have something called the Southern Ag Exchange Network, and it supports the southern states in helping people in agriculture with their overall well-being. So they have a hotline, they do outreach, and they support research projects with these USDA dollars at all the various southeastern states. And so there wasn't a research project going on in Alabama at the time, so they encouraged us to apply, and we did. And the goal of the project, or the intent, is to start to document farmer perceptions of risk in their businesses on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important that when we think about supporting people and, you know, helping them to deal with stress and to recognize that they're not the only ones experiencing stress, and maybe help them with managing that, that we understand as much as possible what it is they're going through, as opposed to sort of sitting here on campus saying, well, I think this is what their problem is, and therefore we're going to fix it. Well, Dr. Russell and I are more interested in going out and visiting with producers and getting their firsthand opinions and perceptions of what they think is going on to try to inform the project.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as the project itself, has it officially begun, or are you getting ready to start the project?
Yes, it has officially begun. We have started talking to producers, and we will conduct over 20 interviews over the course of this calendar year as a pilot study to get us started. We will look at producers across a variety of different commodities, so we're not focusing just on row crops or just on cattle or just on poultry, but instead looking across the different commodities, knowing that some of the issues that they're going to face are going to be unique to their business structure.
That's really good to hear. And I'm assuming logistically, you're also targeting different areas of the state for this research?
Yeah. The unifying theme is actually that we are looking at middle-aged producers. So not young and beginning and not close to retirement, but that middle-aged area of their career where they tend to have a full-time farming operation, but they've also got typically kids and sometimes off-farm employment, and they're kind of rolling and going really hard. And we just want them to take a moment to reflect on, you know, what it is that makes it challenging to do their job and what makes it easier for them to do their jobs.
Well, as far as the interview itself, what does an interview look like?
So this is where Dr. Russell is the specialist. So like I said, she's a rural sociologist. I'm an ag economist. And those are very similar in some ways and very different in others. And the differences lie in that I tend to look at spreadsheets and think about dollars and cents. And Dr. Russell tends to think about people and, you know, kind of gathering their thoughts and ideas about things. And so the interviews are these series of questions that are meant to facilitate a conversation and draw out what it is people are concerned about. Are they concerned about labor, finding labor for their farms? Are they concerned about insurance? Are they concerned about transition planning to the next generation? Are they concerned about working with their lender? You know, those are just some examples of some of the things that they might want to talk about, as well as other things. But the combination of the two of us, I think, tends to broaden the project in that we recognize that economics is driving a lot of what's going on in their business, but there's also a lot of relationship aspects to what they're doing. They're part of a community. They're part of organizations like Alpha or Cattlemen's, and those networks are really important as well.
How long will this research project run?
Like I mentioned, this is a pilot study. So the pilot study is for the year 2024. But what we're hoping is that this will lead to bigger projects where we can work with more producers and perhaps even be able to develop what we call a panel of producers that we would go back to on a, you know, every other year basis and check in with them and say, hey, you know, what's changed? What's going on? Because things like, I'll just pick on transition planning. That's an evolving concern for them. You know, that's not a one and done, oh, we wrote a will and we're good to go.
Right.
You know, that can change over time. And so the ability to go back and revisit with these producers would be really unique and very insightful, I think, to think about this issue.
Well, I think all of our listeners who are farmers know that the stresses are involved in their operation. I'm really looking forward to what is yielded from this research. So you'll have this initial study, and hopefully it'll lead to other things. But what right out of the gate when you do this, say, what are some things that you want to focus on?
So what we want to focus on are common themes, things that more than one person brings up. That end up showing up as being important across the board. And then we want to highlight those things. And that's going to be, when you take results like that, where it's about producer perceptions of this is what's going on and it's from their mouth, then you're able to take that information not only back to farmers and say, hey, this is what you said, or this is what your neighbors said, but you can take it to policymakers, you can take it to farm advocacy groups, you can take it to other researchers. There's lots of, it can inform a lot of different conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Russell explicitly has an extension appointment here, so that will really inform her extension program going forward, where she'll be able to say, okay, this is what the research in other parts of the country says, but this is what people in Alabama say, and this is how it's the same, and this is how it's different.
I think we'll probably all be able to benefit from that research, the information that comes out. Is there some way that you see it manifesting itself in particular? I think you were talking about how Extension can use it on the farm or talking to producers and this kind of thing. But are there things that you're looking at that I want to do A, B, and C with this research in particular?
Well, it's a little bit tricky because with research, you don't know what you're going to get, mm-hmm. right? So it may be that what comes out of it will lend itself really well to extension curriculum that, you know, we can take out and work with producers. It may be that it lends itself really well to a policy discussion. And so we would want to do policy briefs that legislators could look at, you know, not that we're going to necessarily solve the labor problem in this country, but if we get enough documented conversation about how labor affects their daily business operations, that could be a really important piece added to the puzzle for legislators. So there might be some policy briefs that come out of it as well.
There will be some, I think, some wonderful things that we can glean from that information that we could probably use for social media outreach and mm-hmm. also for legislation policy and things like that. So we're really looking forward to what you're able to do and bring that information out.
My name is Ashley Merritt, and I'm the relationship manager in our enterprise branch. I think another big plus with borrowing with Alabama Ag Credit is the fact that we function off cooperative values. And a big perk to a lot of our customers is that once a year they receive that annual patronage check back, and it really allows them to kind of buy into what we're doing. It really gives them a voice in our company as well through all the rights and benefits that comes with being a borrower with Alabama Ag Credit. And it's great that as we become successful, we return that success to our borrowers. And that's something that I'm proud of to say with every potential customer that we have, that this is a big perk and plus. And if you talk with our existing customers, they tell you that that's also a big benefit of borrowing with us. So proud of that. If you'd like to find out more information on any of these products, please visit and contact your local lender and go to alabamaagcredit.com or call 334-270-8687.
Kind of moving a little bit to your bread and butter, Ag mm-hmm. Econ. What are some things going on that you see in ag economics that we could look at what might have changed from last year or some things that are happening this year that might be unique that producers need to look at? What are things that you're seeing?
I would say that whenever we get into a situation where commodity prices start to fall and margins start to tighten up, we always come back to sort of those fundamentals of we're going to have to make decisions on the farm that are as well informed as possible. And so being able to look at hard data on your farm by the records that you keep, the exact costs of application of chemicals and fertilizer and seed, and being able to see, you know, how that translates into yields and not get caught up in a, well, if I just can get a higher yield, I can make up for these low prices. Recognizing that the input costs are going to be extremely important.
Right.
I think that I teach senior farm management, and I tell the students, you know, that a lot of producers know their costs really well, and they need to know them really well so that they can make informed decisions when things get tighter, which is a situation that we're facing right now.
Like you said, margins are getting so tight, input cost is going up, adding back to that stress that we were talking about for your research project, you know, what are some things that they can look at and say, hey, I need to focus on this when I'm looking at the operation, our farm operation?
There's lots of things, narrow it down. I had a guest speaker in farm management yesterday, and he farms over in southern Georgia and then also has a job working for Sun South. And, you know, his comment was rental rates keep going up, even though profitability does not always. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the areas that I've worked in is how to be strategic and talk to your landowner about, you know, where you're at in terms of profitability and where you want to be and what, how that translates into rental rates. Not that, you know, that that's, those are hard conversations to have, but what tends to happen is that if we can have good information on where we stand on our cost of production and our yields and our prices, then we can have really informed conversations with those landowners that are not just emotional, but that are rooted in, you know, facts and figures, and kind of take some of that emotion out of it and be able to say, this is a business situation and we need to make this beneficial for both parties. So I think we get into situations where we evaluate our land base and our rented acres, and we say, you know, how can we be smart about the acres that we rent and what we pay for them? And you know, even, you know, it's interesting. I go back to my class because I've got students from all over the country, and I have a student from Illinois. And he made the comment to me that his family bid $22,000 per acre on a nearby farm for them, and they lost that auction.
Oh, my.
And, you know, he's like, it was close to us, so we were willing to bid a little more than we wanted to. Buying land, renting land right now, I mean, we keep looking and thinking that these interest rates are going to put some downward pressure on land values. And there's some signs of that in the Midwest, but not like what people would like to see who are in the market to buy and rent land.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we just have to be do as much calculations and spreadsheet work as we can to try and take the emotion out of these decisions, because we could find ourselves, you know, if things don't improve, where we've locked ourselves into land payments that are not manageable.
Right. And you were talking about off-farm employees or employment earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a kind of a rising trend? Do you see that there are more farmers pulling off farm, or I would guess that they're probably leaning more towards technology rather than labor on that side of it. But what, you know, are you seeing anything that might be different than that?
It's hard for me to say what the overall trend is in terms of off-farm employment. It's always been something that a lot of farmers have used to maintain. You know, you get a couple of things from off-farm employment. You get a steady paycheck, and you get benefits. And with the cost of insurance, that can be a really big deal, is to have, you know, at least the spouse or somebody working off the farm. When it comes to technology, so again, that speaker yesterday that came into my classroom, he was talking about the latest technology in, we happen to be talking about sprayers. And, you know, he was showing us pictures and talking about the technology, and he was talking about a sprayer that was upwards of $900,000 to purchase. And I asked him, I said, you know, who do you have running that equipment? You know, is that your farm labor or is that you? And he's like, he said, I'm not going to put an $8 an hour employee behind the wheel of that kind of equipment. He said, I'm going to run it, or I'm going to have somebody that's well trained to run it, because it's complex. So, you know, technology is doing some wonderful things for us in terms of variable rate application and things like that, but it also requires more training of our employees or ourselves to be able to operate it safely, effectively, and, you know, not have a breakdown on us.
Right. And that is a really good point, is that we more and more producers are leaning to technology, but if that technology becomes so specific in its operation that requires, you know, some a certified type of employee, that also means more, I guess, more stress on the producer to actually learn that themselves, or to hire, you know, more expensive labor to be able to handle that. Very interesting.
Yeah, it changes the dynamic of who you're going to hire and what you're going to have them do.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there, as far as advice for producers out there, what advice would you give when they're looking at their own economics, farm economics?
Oh, I don't presume to give advice to professional farmers, but I just go back to, you know, what I saw in 2016 when I was in Kansas and margins were incredibly tight. And we just talked about the fact that farm management matters more when margins are tight. You know, you can, it requires paying more attention to the bottom line. It requires more time spent in front of the computer in order to make sure that you are making decisions that are as good for your business as they possibly can be, and not always following your gut, but being able to have something to back that up with. Mm-hmm. So I would just encourage them to do that.
Yeah. And your point earlier, succession planning is so vital when your operation is, when you have a medium, even a medium sized operation. So many things that can happen as you're moving to the next generation that you really need to take into consideration how that will move forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually the case that people really want to see their businesses move on to the next generation, and we have to be very careful how we set things up to make that happen, because that is not just a legal problem or an economic problem, it's also a communication issue. Mm-hmm. You know, to where you're talking about what it's going to take to roll it over to the next generation and keep it economically viable. So transition planning is a really complex issue that I'm not a specialist in it, but I've talked to a lot of people, and I have a lot of respect for people that spend their time consulting with producers on how to transition plan, because there's a lot that goes into it.
Exactly. And if it's not handled properly, it can destroy families and really drive
yes.
wedges in there. So please consider that, everyone listening. So, Michael, well, thank you so much for coming on. And we're eagerly awaiting the research that you're able to do, that you and Dr. Russell are able to do, and hope we can get take advantage of some of the information and get good information out, because the idea of stress on farmers these days, it's not going away. And with the encroachment of urban development and other environmental issues that are going on, there are so many things that are pulling against farmers that we need to consider the mental health of what they're doing as well. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, absolutely. We are very excited about this project.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the AgCast.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I will be happy to visit with you anytime.
Thank you for joining us for Alabama AgCast. For more information about today's conversation, check out the show notes or visit alphafarmers.org/AgCast. Be sure to follow Alabama Farmers Federation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tune in next week for another timely conversation from Alabama AgCast.